Well, praise the Lord. This is Jocelyn Richard with the Praise Dance Life, and welcome to Encouragement, Empowerment, Leadership Telesummit. And we have here this evening Mrs. Amy Tang of WorshipDanceMinistries.com. Amy lives and ministers in Sherwood, Oregon, and she has been choreographing movement and dance for groups of women and children in church for nearly 15 years. She began teaching as a worship dance class homeschool mom in January 2012, and then she offered classes to the local area women and children. She got started dancing in 1994 under Cynthia Nyland, an internationally recognized dance teacher and choreographer performer who has incorporated men and women, young and old, skilled and novice in her worship dances. From her, Amy learned that whether we use simple hand motions or choreographed pieces, when those movements are expressions of worship, they open our spirits to the Lord and allow Him to work through us. Her vision is to grow a liturgical dance group to worship in the church and the community, as well as to equip women and children who want to simply move as expression of their personal devotion to Jesus. Amy loves to pray. She loves to worship Jesus and loves to teach women and children how to use the expression of movement to worship Jesus. She's a servant of the Lord. She's a wife and a mom. And she's here to talk to us about the key to living a kingdom-driven life and ministry. Go ahead, my dear sister. You're on.
Thank you, Jocelyn. I'd like to pray for us before we begin.
Of course.
Father in heaven, we thank you. I thank you so much for this night. I thank you for every person who's taken time to be on this call. God, we invite your Holy Spirit to be present as I talk and as they listen. We invite your wisdom. We invite your peace. We invite you in every way, and we ask that you would use this time to bless these people and advance your purposes in their life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I'm excited to talk to you about prayer, which I believe is the key to advancing God's kingdom in ministry and in all of your life. And I want to share with you an understanding of prayer that has freed me to pray more boldly with the Lord without being bossy to Him. It's deepened my intimacy with Him, and it's enabled Him to work through me to bring His purposes in the lives of others. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is a favorite verse of mine, and I remind myself and my team of it every time I'm preparing to dance. In this verse, Jesus tells us the simple truth that when and only when we stay close to Jesus and His Word, then we bear fruit in ministry and in our personal lives. And I think that's what we all want. We want fruit. We want the fruit of His character in our character. We want the fruit of results, seeing changed lives in our life and in other people's lives. And without a connection to Jesus, whether we dance or whether you have some other form of ministry, it's empty. But when we're rightly related to Him, all the resources of heaven are at our disposal. So God has called me to lead a prayerful dance ministry. When I gather a team of dancers, we commit to pray for each other daily and for the people for whom we're ministering, and to pray regularly for each other. We set aside time at our rehearsals to pray, making that a priority. More important than perfecting our technique or choreography, I'm teaching a class right now of children. When they were planning to minister in the community, I asked their parents to start praying with them weeks before we present to people. to pray for those people that we're ministering to, because our purpose is to tell God's stories and bring in the presence of Jesus. And that can only happen by praying. I don't do this because I'm so spiritual, but I've learned how much I need the Lord's presence and how much I need prayer. I have danced without properly preparing for prayer, and I felt the flat response of the congregation. You know, there's been times where people said, that was so lovely or graceful, but I could tell that the power of the Holy Spirit was not there, and the joy that the dancers felt was lagging. What I want to hear people say is that the Lord spoke to me through your dance. He touched my heart in your way, and that comes through prayer. And you know that if my dancing or my team's dancing is going to make a difference, it's going to be because Jesus is there. We work hard on choreography and technique to do our best, but our strength doesn't come from there. God has given me a certain measure of skill and gifting for dance, and he's allowed me to grow in that. I'm grateful for that. But I know that my level of skill is nothing compared to what people can see on TV or on YouTube. But when I dance and I invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, he comes and he touches people and does more than I could do with 10 years more dance or 20 years more dance experience under my belt. So I want to talk tonight about how do we pray. And before I even start, of course, I need to say that there's no one right or wrong way to pray, except maybe not to pray at all. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to the Father when we pray according to his will. So if we're praying, we can be confident that God will respond. But even so, it helps when we're talking about prayer to know what kind of resources we've been given and what authority is at our disposal. There's a story of a man who lived on a piece of property all his life, and he lived in poverty. His children had to beg for food because he didn't have enough to feed them. He lived in a ramshackle house that was falling down, and his children wore worn-out clothing. His whole life was full of struggle. When he died and they went to settle his estate, they learned that the land he lived on contained huge stores of oil, but he had never known it. He had riches right underneath him, but he never benefited because he didn't know about it. And we can be like that when it comes to prayer. God has given us access to all the riches of his power, his authority through prayer in Jesus' name. But if we're not aware of it, we live like paupers. So I want to share with you some things that I've learned, began to learn 20 years ago, and God's been speaking to me out recently about prayer that produces fruit for the kingdom of God, that has made me aware of the tremendous resource at my disposal, and has also just increased my joy and intimacy with the Father, and I think it will for you as well. Richard Foster calls this kind of prayer authoritative prayer. He says, in authoritative prayer, we are calling forth the will of the Father upon earth. We're not so much speaking to God as we are speaking for God. We're not asking God to do something. We're using the authority of God to command something to be done. And interestingly, this is the kind of prayer we see most often in Jesus' ministry. If you think about it, Jesus didn't pray long prayers. There were a couple long prayers, but most of the time he spoke not as much to the Father, but to creation. He spoke to a storm and he said, be still. To a blind man, he said, receive your sight. To a paralyzed man, he said, get up. To Lazarus in his grave, he said, come out. And he ordered demonic spirits out of people. Now, just as an aside, we might say, but that was Jesus. He was God. Doesn't mean that we can do it. But I would say that that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. In Philippians 2, it says Jesus emptied himself of his godness to take the form of a man. So he didn't do these miracles as God. He did them as a man, rightly related to God, and filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what each of us is if we know Jesus. So we can be confident that we can pray the way that he did. So when we pray kingdom prayers, we don't command God. We command creation, and we invite the Lord to work. So we can speak to illness, and we can speak to a fever and say, go out of that person. We can speak to depression and say, get out in the name of Jesus. Leave my friend alone. We can speak to weariness or discouragement and say, get out of here. The blood of Jesus covers this friend of mine. When I had been married about 3 years. My husband and I have been trying for me to get pregnant for a year, and we were making no progress, and we made no progress even with a fertility doctor. I learned that my younger sister was pregnant, and as happy as I was for her, I also felt jealous because I wanted my own baby. And I told a friend of mine, my friend Lisa, about it. I told her how I was feeling, how I was feeling depressed, and how I was jealous of my sister. And I expected her to say, just be extremely encouraging and to pray for me. And instead what she said, she did pray for me, but she didn't say, "Lord, please give Amy a baby. She really wants one." She spoke to me and my body. She told me that the Lord said I would be fruitful like a vine. She told me to stop being jealous of my sister and give thanks. And it kind of took me aback because it wasn't what I expected. But I sensed that her words were from the Lord. And 3 months after that, I was pregnant. 5 years after that, I had 3 boys. She commanded me, and she spoke life-giving words to my body, words of hope. They were authoritative, and they made a difference in me. Another story along those lines, but quite different, was happened when I was in kindergarten. I had sort of a child understanding of authoritative prayer at this time. One day at recess, it was particularly cold and blustery, and I can remember standing on the playground in my blue dress and my white Mary Jane patent loafers and was wrapping my orange poncho tightly around me. I didn't like recess that much anyway, and I really did not like standing out in the cold and the wind. I knew Jesus, and I knew that he had spoken to the wind and the waves and silenced them. I also knew that his followers did miracles. I had heard the verse that said, if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could move a mountain. So I thought, maybe I can do something about this wind. I spoke aloud, not loudly enough for the other children to hear, just slightly audibly, and I said, in the name of Jesus, wind, I command you to stop. I said it a few times. Unfortunately for me, the wind did not obey me. It continued to blow, and I continued to endure the chill until recess ended. But I look back on that incident, and I kind of marvel at my childlike faith. I was onto something, but my commands did not stop the wind. What was wrong? Did I lack faith? Maybe. But I think that the real reason that the wind didn't obey me was that because while I was using Jesus' name, I wasn't actually speaking for Jesus. I was speaking for Amy. I think it's possible if I had asked the Father, he might have stopped the wind for me. Who knows? But my prayer wasn't a kingdom prayer. It was a convenience prayer, and it didn't flow from the heart and the will of the Father. So kingdom prayers need to not just be authoritative, but they need to flow from a relationship with the Father, and they need to be for his purposes. William Law says this about prayer. He says, prayer is a powerful instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. Sometimes we wonder, what is God's will? Should we just pray, Lord, let your will be done here, whatever it is, as if we have no idea what that is? What does his reign look like? I think the Bible gives us a lot of information about what God's will is and what his reign looks like. When in the book of Luke, when Jesus spoke in the temple, he opened the book of Isaiah and he read it knowing that it was talking about himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When Jesus sent out 72 of his followers, he told them that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal and to heal the sick, and they did it. The message of the kingdom brought signs of the kingdom. That meant pushing back at the work of the enemy. So sickness, discord, worry, oppression, temptation, those are all evidence of the enemies of our souls. Even though God uses these trials to refine us, he is not the giver of them. He is the giver of good gifts. So when we're praying for his kingdom to come, we can be confident that we can stand against the work of the evil one. Again, we speak to sickness, we speak to infirmity, and we tell them to go away. We can speak to anxiety and command it to leave. We can rebuke the tempter, and we can speak freedom from oppression with confidence that our prayers do come from the Father's heart. I came across a quote by a pastor named Steve Shaw just last week. He wrote a book called The Green Ladder, Paradigm Shifts Toward the Kingdom Lifestyle. And he said it this way. He said, prayer isn't calling on a reluctant God to change his mind. It is inviting God into and through enemy territory so that he can establish his rule and reign. I love the phrase, invite. So kingdom prayers are inviting God's rule and reign. That not commanding God, we can command creation. We don't get to command God. But we can invite him. He waits for an invitation. It reminds me of Revelation 3:20. That's a familiar verse. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. We think of this as a salvation verse, and it is. But it also reveals the character of Jesus and the character of the Father. They don't barge in. They don't force relationship. They don't force salvation. And he doesn't even force his kingdom on us. He waits for an invitation. Is it possible that he waits for an invitation to bring healing, hope, help, to release people? He gave us dominion over this planet and in creation. Adam handed it over to Satan when he sinned, and we do it. We give our dominion over to Satan when we sin. But in Jesus, it's ours again. So God waits for us to use that dominion to invite him to reign, to release his goodness and his resources for blessings and to helping those who need it. I'm going to share something a friend said to me about 20 years ago that also shifted my understanding of prayer. A woman named Catherine Schaller, who was a friend and mentor to my husband, said something I've never forgotten. She said, I used to think prayer was about me tapping a very busy God on the shoulder and saying, Lord, so-and-so's hurting. Please heal her. Or, Lord, so-and-so needs your help. Lord, so-and-so is under spiritual attack. Please defend him. But I'm learning that prayer is more about God tapping a very busy me on the shoulder and saying, Kathy, I want you to heal so-and-so. I want to heal so-and-so, and I want you to speak it into being. Or, Amy, so-and-so is under spiritual attack. I'm ready to release power, and I want you to declare my victory in their life. When Catherine shared this understanding of prayer with me, it changed the way I prayed. I began to see that prayer is not so much about me convincing God to act as it is about me listening to him to learn what he wants to do in a situation and speaking it out for him. In John 5:19 and 20, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So in light of this, prayer begins with listening to the Father to find out what he wants, and then we speak it into being. If I'm willing to listen, to be attentive to God for that tap on the shoulder, the quiet thought that pops into my mind, or that nudging of the Spirit, then I get to be the vehicle. It's actually, listening in prayer is more of a challenge to me than talking. I've always talked a lot in prayer. I come by it rightly. My mom is an intercessor. She has been a powerful prayer over me, and she taught me to pray, and she prayed long prayers. I can remember her interceding at dinner during the just table grace, and I would interrupt and say, amen, amen, trying to get her to shorten her prayers, and now I do that. Early on in my marriage, my husband admitted that he didn't really sometimes like praying with me because I just prayed so long. It stung, but it was true. My husband is much less wordy than I am. He spends more time listening to God. But when he does speak, his prayers are powerful and they're effective and clear. I love when he prays for me. And from him and from Catherine, I'm learning to listen to what the Father's up to. Instead of telling him what I need him to do, I listen for what he wants to do in their lives. Then I can pray with more confidence, speaking his plans into being. Sometimes a scripture comes to my mind and I pray it. Other times I don't hear anything specific. And in those times, I just say, Lord, I say yes to what you're doing. Or I invite his kingdom. I say, Lord, bring your kingdom into their life. Just a couple weeks ago, I'll end with this story. A couple weeks ago, I invited people in my worship dance community to share prayer requests for me. And I told them that I would pray for them specifically, that I felt called to do that. So one friend who is part of my community, she's a mother of several children, and she's also a foster mother of some others. And she's just an amazing woman. She's kind, she's loving, she's gentle and fun. And when I'm around her, it makes me want to be a better mother because she inspires me. She emailed me that day saying that she was discouraged, she's feeling weary, and that one of her children was causing her tremendous grief, and would I pray for her? So I told her I would, and I prayed briefly to her when I received the email. And then later in the afternoon, as I drove home from getting my hair cut, she came to mind. And so I just thanked God for her, and I said, Lord, I just said to the spiritual realm, I said, the blood of Jesus covers this family. Satan, leave him alone. Discouragement, go away. Weariness, get out. Rebellion, be gone in Jesus' name. Leave that family alone. And I just listened for what else the Lord would bring to my mind, and I spoke to that. I said, anxiety, go away. I spoke to every negative emotion that came to my mind, and I commanded it to leave the family alone. And then I invited the peace of the Lord, encouragement, wisdom, hope for the future, and strength to fall on my friend. I didn't pray in a really loud voice. I didn't pray with heavy emotion. I just spoke to the work of the enemy to stop, and I invited the presence of the Lord. And I sensed almost right after, you know, I prayed for a bit, and then I just sensed that what I'd asked for had been done, that the Lord had come through for her. And I stopped praying, and I went home and did what I needed to do. Well, I got an email from her that night saying, oh, my gosh, thank you for praying. I just felt a shift today. Things were different at school for this one, and my heaviness lifted. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You did it. You did it. You revealed what needed to be prayed for. You responded to an invitation to pray, and you released your resources in her life. So, in conclusion, my encouragement to you is first, let prayer be a priority. Don't be like the man who lived over an oil field but lived in poverty. The Lord wants to work in you and through you, and connecting with him in prayer is the key to that. Secondly, take time to listen. Invite God's kingdom to invade and speak to creation to come in alignment with God's purposes. This kind of prayer isn't bossy and it's not timid. It's authoritative and it's intimate. We can be authoritative because of the victory that Jesus won over the enemy, and because in him we're children of the King. And it's intimate for the same reason, because we are children of the King. We're his own in relationship with him. And he has plans for us and for the people he puts in contact with us. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. I needed to hear that. I love what the principle of he's tapping busy me. Mm-hmm. To listen. Thank you so much. And also that our prayers can be authoritative and intimate. Mm. Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you so much for that teaching, that message. Amy, how can we connect with you and be a part of your worship dance online community, if just in case we're not in your city?
Thank you for asking. Yes, a couple ways. First of all, if you email me right after class, I would love to send you the notes from this class. And I will also put your name in a drawing for a free hard copy of my worship curriculum. I've written a book called And a Child Shall Lead Them, 10 Worship Dance Lessons for Children. And this book is a curriculum. It's a manual to teach children worship dance. I would say that you could take this manual and teach worship dance to adults as well. So if that's something that you would like, email me at amy@worshipdanceministries.com, amy@worshipdanceministries.com, and I will send you the notes from this class, and I'll also put your name in a drawing for a hard copy of that book, which I will mail to you. Also, if you would like to stay in touch with me to receive email updates about resources to equip worship dancers, special offers, you can sign up for my emails. And you can do that. There's a link on the page that you have for this telesummit. Or you can go to worshipdanceministries.com/subscribe. And when you subscribe, you'll receive as a gift a lesson from my book. That lesson is entitled The Power of a Worshiping Child. You will also get access to a special offer on my book. My book sells for $34 for a digital download online, but you'll receive the opportunity to purchase that for $30 for a limited time. So I'd love to have you do that if that's something that would benefit you and that you could use to equip the people around you to do worship dance.
Well, thank you so much for that generous offer. Please take advantage. I encourage all of us on the teleseminar listening now live or later during the week to take advantage of Amy's offer. Do connect with her. As you can tell from what you've heard, her teaching is rich and bathed in prayer. And her book, I have reviewed it. We've done a class together. She and I have had the pleasure of reviewing it. It's an excellent curriculum, excellent. And do grab that so that you can have less choreography and planning time for the holiday season with your dance ministry and more time with your family, because Amy has done all the work for you. She even has chosen the music and the colors and everything. So just grab that for your excellent dance ministry education and peace of mind, too. So thank you so much, my dear sister, for that lesson tonight. It was awesome, tremendous. I want to get those notes. I want to get those notes. Don't you? I know you want to get those notes, too.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you for those on the call as well.
Great. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with or tell? Well, let me do this. We just have a few more minutes before Minister Yolanda has. You really tapped into how to pray. So if you wouldn't mind praying for us again.
I would love to.
Or praying a kingdom prayer like you taught us.
Okay, yes, let's pray. Father, you love these people on the line. You love them with an everlasting love, and you have great purposes for them. And I pray for a releasing of your purposes. I pray where people feel bound, I break that bondage in Jesus' name. Where people feel stuck, I pray for a release in Jesus' name. Where people need renewed strength for the ministry you've called them to, I call forth strength from heaven to flow into them for their ministry and encouragement. For those who need resources, Father, I ask that you would release the resources of heaven financially for what you've called them to do. We know, Lord, that money is supposed to be our steward, that that's just for the purpose of doing what you want to do. So would you release all that's needed for those who have dreams and hopes that you've put on their hearts? Would you release the resources to make those come about? For those who feel far from you in prayer, I pray that your spirit would draw them to you. You would meet them in prayer and you would bless them. And God, I thank you and praise you for those who are full of joy. And I pray just for an added measure of blessing on them in Jesus' name. So we invite heaven to invade our homes tonight, our workplaces tomorrow, all that we do. We invite you, we give you the invitation, Lord, to come and do your thing. We trust you and we love you and we pray in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord.